Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, and again we're in the same text that we've been in for a few days, but as I've told you before, we are dealing with verses that are scattered throughout this passage, and so we take the whole text and then really concentrate on the verses that pertain to the topic of the day. You see, the passage is about a virtuous woman, from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, all the way to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 31. You're dealing with the same text, the same concept of virtuous woman. And today we're going to see her with her work, a virtuous woman and her work. Okay? We're going to be studying all verses 13 and then 16 through 20, verses 22 and 24, and I think verse 15 as well. Look at these verses. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth for her hands to the needy. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, we're dealing with the virtuous woman and her work. Let me just start off by saying, before we begin to comment on the passage and outline it, that many times when you are studying the Bible, or many times when you hear the Bible preached and taught, it rubs you the wrong way. And because it says something that is contrary to what you believe, or it says something in a way that offends you. Now we know the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And the reason that they don't get offended is because they love the Bible. Well, there are a lot of people that hear the Bible preached that don't love it. And consequently, it rubs them the wrong way sometimes. Well, we are potentially in one of those areas today. And I only say that to warn you that we will treat the text just as honestly as it is written, but we recognize that this text is very much unlike the women of today. The thing to notice about this virtuous woman is that she is a working woman. Now, there are a lot of women that work, but she's on the go and starts early and works late. You won't find her dining out all the time. You won't find her bar hopping. You won't find her fornicating. You won't find her dancing. You won't find her gossiping. You won't find her wasting a lot of time at the movie. You won't find her wasting time reading novels. You won't find her always clothes shopping. You won't find her wasting the day with vain beauty. I mean, you know, hours in front of the vanity, putting on makeup and doing her hair and spending all the time in the beauty shop. She won't waste the day with magazines and soap operas and talk shows. She won't waste the day waiting on her husband to come home so that he can take her out and wine her and dine her in the high social scene. She's not the society queen, hobnobbing with all the other socialites in town and putting in appearances at all the best clubs in town. She's not consumed with all of the vain talk and social gossip of her day. She's too busy for that. She's got work to do. You see, now, I said the passage can rub you the wrong way because there are a lot of women today who take all of their advice and counsel from the magazines and they see the glamorous women, and they want to be glamorous, and they spend lots of time on their beauty, and then they want to be in the social scene, and they want to be seen in the social scene, and they want to go out and have a good time. Now, they may work, and they may bring home some money, but by the time you consider the babysitters, and the extra taxes, and the extra Social Security, and the extra size of the mortgage, and the extra car, and the extra car payment, and the extra insurance, and all of the other considerations, it's about a break-even proposition. By that I mean the extra income is absorbed in the extra expenses. I've often seen it, so have you, that with the income rising also rises the expenses, and the next thing you know, it's about a break-even proposition. You got to get a raise just to keep up. Now, we're going to notice something about the way this virtuous woman works. First of all, she works willingly. Then she works tirelessly. Then she works wisely. Then she works economically. Then she works physically. Then she works diversely. Then she works charitably. Notice, first of all, she works willingly in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, a lot of ladies don't like to get their hands into the work. But a virtuous woman doesn't mind that, and she has trained herself and has been trained in the things that she can do with her hands. Notice that when you read the Bible, you find there are some great women in the Bible. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, a great and well-known patriarch. All right? When Eliezer went to meet her, to bring her home to Isaac, when he was looking for a wife for Isaac, she was carrying the water pot, and he had said to the Lord, I want a woman who, when I ask for water, will not only give me to drink, but will also give my camels to drink. And so, when he met Rebekah carrying the water pot, she gave him water, and then she said, let me, she did this willingly, she didn't have to be asked or told, let me now give water to thy camels. And she went running back and forth to fill that water pot and fill the troughs so that the camels could drink. Running, she did it with haste, and she did it willingly. When Ruth came back willingly with Naomi, she said, I'm going to go wherever you go. I'm going to be with you wherever you are. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Wherever you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. And Ruth came into the area of Judah, in Bethlehem, Judah, and she told Naomi, I'll go out and I'll gather so that we have something to eat. And she gathered in the fields the extra grain, the gleanings that fell away whenever the crops were being harvested. And she brought that home every day, stayed out there in the field all day long to bring home some food for her family. And she did that willingly, and she wasn't afraid to work with her hands. And she did an outstanding job, so much so that Boaz took note of what she was doing and complimented her on her work and her faithfulness to her mother-in-law. That's a virtuous woman, you see. And a lot of women are not like that. Not today. They're not willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that the household is taken care of, and they do it gladly and willingly and work with their hands. Notice also in verses 15 and 18 that the virtuous woman works tirelessly, tirelessly. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night. Okay, that's going to be pre-dawn. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So when the nighttime comes, she's not heading to the bed. And when the morning arrives, she is already hastily doing her work. She works tirelessly. Now, it's very, very wonderful to see a woman who can go at it day and night. I know there are women that have to work and bring home extra money for the family because they just cannot live on one income, and I understand that. You know, it's not the desirable thing, and it's not what I would encourage, and yet at the same time, I recognize that it many times is what has to be done. But you know something? They say that a woman's work is never done. And so when she gets home, while her husband may want to kick back and relax, maybe mow the lawn, she still has to do the laundry. She still has to prepare the food and meals for the family. She still has to bathe the children. She still has to help with the homework. She still has to clean her house and iron her clothes. She still has to do the dishes. She still has to clean so that the house is not only picked up but vacuumed and so that the windows are clean, and so that the house is swept, and so that the filters in the air conditioning are changed. You know, there's a tremendous amount of work for her to do, and then she has to lay out her own clothes, be able to sleep in the nighttime, get up pre-dawn, make breakfast for everybody, make sure that the kids get off safely to school and well-prepared, then off to work she goes. That is a woman that is virtuous and does what she does tirelessly. She doesn't have time to goof off. I mean, the work she has doesn't allow for her to goof off. When I read in the Bible in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, there's an elderly widow named Anna. She's a prophetess. And notice what happened to her in Luke chapter 2, verse 37. She was a widow of about 84 years. So she's 83 years old, almost 84, which departed not from the temple, but, watch it, served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Night and day. That's a virtuous woman. She's putting in the hours night and day. Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila was working with her husband side by side, working willingly with her hands side by side with her husband. And if that were not enough to take care of all of their responsibilities together and also the household, they also had a church in their house. What a tremendous woman, a virtuous woman. Now go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 31 and notice not only does she work willingly, and the virtuous woman works tirelessly, but she also works wisely. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Well, then she's not like Jezebel. Jezebel knew of a vineyard that was owned by Naboth that her husband Ahab was not successful in negotiating to buy, and so she decided that she would get it, but she didn't get it by buying it. She got it by having Naboth killed after a false trial. Well, then this woman, this virtuous woman, thank God, is not like Jezebel, who eventually was thrown over the wall, killed on the way down, and eaten by the dogs. That was a worthy death for somebody like her. A virtuous woman, on the other hand, considers a field and then buys it. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Well, then this woman is wise enough to do a number of things. She is wise enough to make fine linen and sell it and negotiate and deal with the merchant. She's also wise enough to know the value of real estate and be able to buy a field and know that that field would be productive for her in order to plant a vineyard that then can produce the grapes that she needs to sell. Very wise. Very wise. She's not just a realtor buying and selling land. She's buying land that is productive land and knows its value. That's an amazing thing, because a lot of times you'll find in a marriage, and sometimes rightly so, that the husband makes all of those business decisions. But in this case, she's wise enough to know about those matters and could at least consult him, because she's wise enough. Listen, she knows what the thing is worth, and she knows how much to spend for it, and then she knows to be able to purchase that thing without going and bringing the family into deep debt. She reminds me of Abigail, who was a woman of beautiful countenance, and there's certainly nothing wrong with beauty. As a matter of fact, it's preferred. And at the same time, a woman of good understanding. A woman of good understanding. And poor old Abigail was married to a fool, but she recognized when David was coming, because her husband Nabal wouldn't appropriately answer his request for food, Abigail knew to intervene, see, and take that iniquity on herself and provide the food that was needed in order to save and spare her household. She was a virtuous woman. So this woman is to be well complimented for her wisdom. She knows when she's doing what she does, she knows how to help out with the family income. I'm reminded of a friend of ours that works in a closed country as a missionary, closed to the gospel, so I won't mention the name of the country to even risk compromising his work. But he deals with orphans. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the pictures of some of these orphans on my office wall right now. These orphans that I'm looking at are all girls. They range in age from 4 to 13. Now, the 13-year-old, they're all in school if they're old enough to be in school. And the 13-year-old is not only being trained in school, but she's also being trained to work with her hands, though, so that she can become self-supporting and not have to be supported by his mission. And she'll be trained as a seamstress or as a woman that can own her own store, a merchant, or a woman that will run her own roadside cafe. And with this income, she'll be able to manage her own household and support herself without needing support from other families. Right now, she needs support from other families, and she is an orphan that we're supporting personally. Now, I'm looking at a picture right there. I think it's tremendous that our friend in this closed country has the wisdom to know to train these orphans in something to do and knows to train her in something, an occupation that will allow her to be able to support herself. Wise, wise. All right, a virtuous woman works willingly, tirelessly, wisely, and also, look at this, economically. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Verse 22 and 24, we'll read them again. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Economically, she stays in the budget. She knows the value of a thing. She isn't interested in how much she can accumulate. But rather, she is able to be productive. I noticed in Proverbs earlier, there is a field that is bought, and the field's price is determined by what it can produce. See, in other words, there's goat's milk enough that comes from the goats that can graze that land. But the land is not based upon its recreational value. The value of the land is based upon its productive value, what it can produce in order to be able to sustain the household. Well, there's somebody that would have to then understand the value of that land based upon its productive value, see? And then buy it based on that value, and then she's able to do that. She's a wise woman. You know, basically, it comes down to this. She is not, see, because you're looking at this in verse 22 and 24. She's making coverings of tapestry. She makes clothes for her household in verse 21. She makes fine linen and sells it. She is not honored for her clothing. Various of the women that attended the Oscars, and these gowns were all, designer gowns. And so the columnist that was doing the article was complimenting these ladies or criticizing these ladies on how they were dressed, and the value of their gown was pointed out. You'll find out sometimes in the society page when a woman marries, if she's got a designer gown, then the designer's name is in there, and so that way you can know that she was a real socialite who is being honored, what? For the gown that she's wearing, you see. But this woman here that's a virtuous woman is not honored for her clothing, but rather she is clothed in honor. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Oh, there's a vast difference there between the vain socialite and the woman of honor. The woman that's a socialite is honored for her clothing. I remember years and years ago, we're talking about now in the 1970s, a friend of mine, his mother worked in the specialty gowns department of a very upscale department store. And it was not uncommon in the 1970s. We're talking about more than 30 years ago. We're talking about 35 years ago. They were selling gowns at that time for $5,000 a piece. And many times those gowns were worn one time to a very special ball or a very special event. All right? The women that wore those gowns were honored for their clothing in many cases. But the virtuous woman, on the other hand, and by contrast, is clothed in honor. Substantial difference. You see that? She works economically. Another thing about her, she'll work physically. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In verse 16, she plants this vineyard with her hands. She works physically. Well, then she's going to be very much different than the stylish woman of the day. I get my hair cut, and they've got all kinds of magazines there at the salon or at the barbershop or whatever you want to call it. And so you see all these fashion magazines, and on the covers of those magazines, then you see all these women that are advertising various things, health products or gowns or whatever it may be. You go to the grocery store, you go to the checkout line, those magazines are all on the racks there. And these fashion magazines and these lady journals show women who are undernourished because they're skinny and who seem to know only one thing, and that is how to pose for a camera. That seems to be all they know. It is their beauty that is portrayed in the fabric that they're wearing and in the way that they're made up and in the way that their hair is done. It is their beauty that is there to catch your eye. Verse 30, though, tells us favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, see. So it's their beauty that is catch your eye and not their ability. If they are physically strong, those that are posing in those pictures, then it's because they work out in a gym, not because they are working like the virtuous woman and actually productive in doing something. Now, there's nothing wrong to be health conscious. Don't get me wrong. But if all of your physical shape is simply because you are sizing yourself up because you want to be buff at the gym, then that's very vain, because that's all going to change. A disease can change that. Age can change that. A lot of things can change that. A car wreck can change that. And I don't wish any of that on you, but that comes with time. Listen, I remember being in the company of an 82-year-old woman. I shook her hand. She had the hand of a farmer. You say, well, that's not what kind of hand I want. Yeah, but she was a virtuous woman. I took that woman's hand, and it was leathered from the work that she did in raising her children and her grandchildren and the delight she had in her great-grandchildren. She was tough. She was strong. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She could still put in a full day's work at 82 years old. She was that strong. And, you know, she was a virtuous woman. I got to talking to her about this, about salvation, and the trouble we had was finding areas where she had sin in her life. Not that I needed to know those, but that she needed to know she was a sinner in need of a Savior. And let me tell you something. Because she spent all of her time working and was not a woman that was idle, she didn't have time to get into trouble. She wasn't a fornicator and a dancer and a gossip and a bar hopper. She never went to the bar. She never went to the dance hall. She didn't go to the movies. She didn't have time for that kind of thing. She didn't tie up her mind with vain novels. If she ever did read, she read things that were of value. Why? Because she worked physically. Then notice in our text also, and you've seen it because we've been over several passages already, she worked diversely. She did lots of different jobs. There were lots of different jobs that she could do. In our text here, this virtuous woman cooked, she sewed, she did needlework, she wove with weaving, she did gardening, and other things like that. She reminds me a lot of my mother-in-law, and she reminds me a lot of a sister-in-law. Both of these women could do all of these jobs, cook, can, sew, do needlework, weave, garden, any of that stuff. And it's amazing because today, unfortunately, we have gotten away from that. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with the size of the houses and the small size of the lots that people live in or the apartments they live in. They can't get out and do much of this stuff. But I have a friend of mine that lives in an apartment, and he found a little plot of land in an alley that's not being used by anybody, and he's gone in there with his children, and he's teaching them to garden in that little plot of land. He doesn't even own it, but he's got permission to use it, just so they know how to do these things. My mother-in-law has taught one of my daughters a lot about sewing, and I noticed that one day she gave her a sewing machine. My daughter looked in a magazine and found a purse that was in there made of denim, and she had an old pair of jeans. I was outside doing a project, came in a couple of hours later, and off of that picture, without a whatever you call that thing, a plan or a whatever you call that fat pattern, she was able to make that purse. And I thought, wow, how in the world did you ever learn that? But my mother-in-law had taught her these things, or grandmother had shown her these things. So it's a good thing to be a virtuous woman, to know how to do all those things, to make clothing, be able to make clothes last longer by being able to take out problems. My daughter took a long sleeve shirt that I've got, and it got a hole in one of the sleeves in the elbow, and she was able to cut those sleeves off and tuck them under, make a short sleeve shirt out of that. That's been 2 years ago, and I still wear the shirt today. And I just think it's kind of neat. A virtuous woman should be able to do that according to the text. And then finally, we notice that the virtuous woman works charitably. Notice in verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Amazing. This woman has so much to do, you wonder how in the world she even has time to consider somebody else that is in need or somebody else that is poor. But you know, I've noticed women that can do that kind of thing. And you notice it often when there is a funeral. What will happen is the women will get together and they'll cook. And they'll make all kinds of things. They'll go over and clean the other person's house. They'll do all these kind of things in addition to their own load. And you think, how in the world can they do all of that? But they're charitable. They're always looking out for somebody else. And I'm just amazed by all of that because they've got so much to do already. And then they've got that they would take the time and have the time and the resources to be able to always consider that they still have it better than somebody else that lives on the street. And they take time and money and use that to help the poor and the needy. That, you know what they are? They're virtuous women. You know, how you know? Among other things, they work charitably. So remember these things, women, when you consider your daughters growing up, when you consider the work that you do, when you measure yourself by the standard of the Bible. A virtuous woman works willingly, tirelessly, wisely, economically, physically, diversely, and charitably. And then strive for God Almighty to pattern your life after the women that you've seen in the Bible and after these things that you've seen in the virtuous woman here. You can do those things by God's grace, particularly if you do those things for God's glory. What I've noticed about the society women today, it's all about them. It's all about selfishness. It's all about being seen. It's all about hobnobbing in the right crowd. As a matter of fact, many of the society women I have heard and noticed from banking go into debt in order to be able to continue to put on that front and continue to run in that high society crowd. Let me tell you something. You'd be better off to forget all of that and be a virtuous woman to the glory of God, to the praise of your husband and your children, than you ever would to try to impress those people who seem to be the people that follow the vanity of the magazines and of the movie stars. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you, because it's surely the kind of woman that God wants our women to be.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.